Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. Jim, I need to do a test real quick. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Denise, yes.
Okay, good. I was having trouble with my microphone. I hope nobody heard me cursing, but let me introduce you.
I thought you abandoned me right at the beginning.
I didn't. I lost you, and I said some bad words, and I will apologize to anybody who heard those, but let's go ahead and try again. I'll say good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored to share the microphone with the most interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders, and they have wonderful stories to share, and they are excited to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, many tips, and a lot of actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. In fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now, and has also been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. And our topic today is, it's a big one. It's called Build Your Business Bigger, Bolder, and Faster with Jim Palmer. And he is here to share how just saying yes, the word yes, it's a simple word, can propel someone to achieve more. Now, Jim says that every entrepreneur and small business owner has within them the desire and most probably the ability to create their dream business, a business that makes it possible to live their dream lifestyle. We're going to talk about that. Jim's living on a boat. He is living his dream. So what prevents many entrepreneurs from realizing success is that ever-present inner voice, you know, that kind of, what do they call that, imposter syndrome, that's constantly playing the what-if game. You know, and if you're tired of slow to no growth, it's time to just say yes, to jump and grow your wings on the way down and experience a big adventure. Jim, good morning. Welcome back to Your Partner in Success Radio, and thank you for being so patient with my technical issues.
No worries, Denise. It's always an honor to be on your show. I think this is like my fourth time.
It is. I mean, and the last time you were here, you were actually the final guest of 2016.
That's right. We did like a welcome to 27. That was a fun show. We covered a lot of ground. Yeah. I remember that.
We did. And I can't remember now. I think you were just in the process of selling your home that you had lived in forever, raised your children there, and buying the boat that you now live in on.
When I was talking to you, yeah, we had bought the boat, we sold our home, and we were living in a one-bedroom cottage on a farm, waiting for spring to move on the boat. I remember walking around that tiny little apartment talking to you.
Oh, and see, I don't remember that part, but I knew you were in the process, so, and I definitely want to talk about that, because this is a lifestyle change that you and your wife made the decision. I mean, that's a big deal to buy a boat, sell your house. I'm not sure I would have the courage. In fact, I can tell you right now, I wouldn't have the courage.
It really is a big deal. And you know what's interesting is that really became the impetus for writing the book is not only were, because I really thought when I wrote Decide, that's six books and I had three books behind me on either side when I had my home office. And if I had a seventh book, I'm going to have to, I don't know how it's going to look in a picture frame. So I just felt I'm done, you know, for a while. And then I just got inspired to write this book. And part of it is, Denise, the fact that, did you ever find yourself, you know, giving advice to people and then you start listening and all of a sudden you start taking your own advice, and or when you start questioning yourself, well, wait a minute, I tell people to be bold and think big and do this, I better do this myself.
All the time. And it's like, have you ever written, you've read something, go, oh man, that sounds like something I would say, and then you go, ooh, that was me. Oh, crud.
That's so funny.
all the time.
Yep. Yeah, it was quite an experience that Stephanie came home one day. We knew she was going to be retiring from her 15-year career in early childhood development, and that meant we were not landlocked because I can do my work anywhere I have an internet connection and a phone. And so we started thinking about different things we wanted to do, and we actually talked about maybe we'll go live in the Caribbean or do this or that, or we'll just travel, and nothing really felt right. But one thing that we had been doing for the last 3 years, as you know well, is, you know, we got into boating three years ago, and we just love the boat we had. She says, what if we live on a boat and, you know, just live and we'll be on the water all the time? And I said, well, that's fine, but, you know, to quote Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat. So we found the big boat that we wanted, that we felt comfortable. It's like it's kind of like a small house in a way, and two bedroom, two bath, and nice little living room / office area. And we just started making it happen. And every single decision we had to make, and every time we took a step forward, we got a little more nervous. But it's been a journey, and it's put us both really outside of our comfort zone for the first time in a long time, I think.
Sorry about that. I would think it would. My first thought, and you know me well, I am a highly committed introvert. My first thought was, oh my God, I'd never get away from him or her. I would be in jail. But you guys like each other, so it works out well, I take it.
Well, we do like each other. However, there are different types of boats. I mean, you can have a boat with a lot of room, but it's like a big main area and the bedroom's up in the front or something like that. I wanted a certain style of boat. It's called an aft cabin that had doors. There's a forward bedroom you can close the door. There's a rear bedroom you can close the door. When I'm doing all my interviews, you know, she gets tired of hearing me do so many interviews. She can go sit up top, and, you know, it's a full enclosure in the sun, and it's just there's plenty of places we can get away from each other if we want to.
Oh, good. And, you know, that truly was a concern because it's, you know, people, especially when you're building business and you're working all the time, you do need alone time, you need thinking time, you need business building time. And I was wondering how that was going to work out.
Yeah, so the one thing that really concerned me as far as work, probably the only thing that concerned me, was I didn't want lack of internet to interrupt my ability to take calls. And a lot of my clients like to do video conferencing, so I really worked hard to solve the internet problem, and got a little creative with the antennas and boosters, and we've never lost internet. Most marinas have internet, and I have really high quality hi-fi at this marina, and so I was able to figure that out. But that was a real concern, Denise, that, you know, my chosen lifestyle was going to impact the service I'd be able to give my clients. So knock wood, that problem's been solved.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of falls into the what ifs that you talk about, because you had to walk yourself through a lot of what ifs. Like, what if we don't like living on a boat? Can, you know, do we want to buy another home? What if I can't connect with my, you know, my clients? What if, you know, my relationship with my wife suffers? I mean, there was a lot going on just in a decision. And I say just in, it's a huge decision to take your lifestyle, which you have been working for a long time, to this particular level. And I think your story is important because so many people go, oh, you know, my house is paid for, I'm just going to stay right here. But what if that's not what you really, really want to do? What if you want to kick the bucket down the road, or the can, or whatever that term is?
Yeah, we've been in our home for almost 29 years. We raised four kids there, and it was a great home, but it was an acre and a half of grass, and, you know, I was just tired of all the maintenance, and I was ready probably 5 years ago, and it took Steph a little while to get over the emotional attachment of this is where we've raised our family. But once she did that, I'll tell you, you know what's interesting is when you make a decision to do something big, I guess, maybe, and maybe it's even to go on a vacation or buy a beach house or buy a boat or start a business or grow a business or anything that's kind of big, you get excited about it initially. And I almost say it's like a romantic excitement. It's, oh, I love this. This is going to be great. You know, we're going to do this. And your mind just gets all wrapped up in the the great projections, I guess, that your mind is putting out there. And then you wake up the next day and the other side of your brain kicks in and go, are you crazy? What are you doing? You're 59 years old and your financial planner said the worst investment you can make at this time is a boat like that. You know, a boat's not a great investment. It really isn't. And so there's a lot of reasons, and some of them are probably pretty sound, why not to do things like this. But, you know, we talked about it, Denise, and one thing we said is that we have lived our lives at this point, 37 years, we've done everything kind of by the book, so to speak. You know, we got married, we had kids, we always had the insurance, we were putting away for college, and I mean, we did everything and you know, that we should do, but we felt like life is really going by quickly, and of course, I learned, you know, 17 years ago that it can go by even quicker, you know, when I had my scare with cancer, and we just didn't want to get to the end of our life or at some point when we're far less able to travel like Steph's parents and say, geez, I wish we had done that. You know what I mean? It becomes a driving force is to take the what if it doesn't work and say, yeah, but what if it does? And what if it is just awesome and hold on to that?
Well, Jim, the truth is we never know what's going to happen. We have to, you know, take little steps, big steps, leap off a cliff every now and then, every single day. I mean, there's no guarantee, as you know. You had the scare with cancer. I mean, we don't know if we'll leave to go to the grocery store and come home alive. We just don't know. So why not look at the what ifs, like, but what if it works? What if it's great? What if it's phenomenal?
Yeah, I saw this great video. I forget the gentleman's name, but he does these videos and he's kind of like a poet. I think he's actually a rapper. And he did this one video and it was called Everybody Dies. And he said, you know, there's been great studies where they've interviewed a lot of people that were kind of on their last breath or on, you know, on their deathbed, so to speak. And they were all asked to name things that they regret. And he said to a person, almost everybody said, I don't regret anything I did, but I regret not doing some of the things I wanted to do because then it's too late. Right. And that's how we felt. You know, we didn't want to get to a point where, you know, let's say somebody says, well, maybe 5 more years, just really flush up your 401k or go take some more boating lessons, learn how to read a chart and all that. And maybe then do it. Yeah. But what if I get sick again? Or what if something happened? I mean, you just don't know. And so I think, you know, the interesting thing is, and I did share this in the beginning of the book, is when Steph and I first got romantically excited about the idea of living on a boat, my God, she had me at hello. Right? I'm like, let's go. And then we started having the what ifs. And she went to work the next day, and she subscribes to these two or three different, like, inspirational emails. And the one that she got was a quote by Hunter S. Thompson. Now, I'll get pretty close. It might not be exact, but it says, you know, life is not meant to be lived, or you're not supposed to arrive at heaven's door in a well-preserved body. You're supposed to skid in, bruise, dust it up, and say, wow, what a ride. Something to that effect.
Right. Slide in sideways, and everything is a mess, right? Yeah.
And so she said, Jim, this is a sign, because, you know, we'd gotten all excited and we started having the, what if it's not, but you know what? We had been having discussions early on when I thought, you know, I wanted to get out of the big house and stuff like that. She says, well, what are we going to do? Go to a townhouse? And sure, you won't have to mow the grass and this, that, and the other thing. But then the next step from a townhouse is the assisted living type place like my parents are about to go into. And she says, I'm not ready for that. Let's go. I want a big adventure. We need to go on an adventure. And that's really what got us started.
And I love that story. And the beauty of it is now, I mean, we're such a mobile society, I guess. I mean, we're not constrained anymore by where we are geographically, haven't been for a while. And you can take, like you said at the top of the show, you can take your business anywhere you've got Wi-Fi and telephone.
I can now take my business anywhere there's 4 feet of water or more. I need four feet of water for the boat. So I actually prefer about 8 feet because I don't want to be that close churning up mud. But yeah, if I can drive this boat anywhere there's 4 feet of water, which means we're going to very soon about 3 weeks from now, we're going to leave Rhode Island where we are now, and we're going to start making our way south. Certainly hope all the hurricanes will be gone by then, but you know, we'll start working our way down the intercoastal waterway and probably land in somewhere in Florida, maybe St. Augustine or something like that, and we'll spend the winter there, and then we'll motor back up, and we'll stop in and visit some little towns that you don't see from 95, you know. And it's just going to – and we're going to document it. We started a blog where we're, you know, sharing pictures and stories about the different places we're going, and it's going to be fun. It's something we're going to look back on and go, gosh, I'm so glad we did that.
Oh, I'm glad you're doing it. I get to live vicariously through you guys and your pictures and, you know, how your dog is doing on the boat. I mean, it's pretty fascinating to watch. But from a business standpoint, I find it really inspirational. Am I going to do it? No, I'm like my house and my pecan trees and my gorgeous backyard. Although I have to say, I've been swearing I was going to move to Maine one day. And I keep thinking about it won't go away. And Jim, I've never been to Maine. I've never even looked at property there or a house there. But something in my heart and my soul tells me I need to live in Maine. So I can't say never. I may be saying what if quicker than, you know, than I may be comfortable with. But from a business standpoint, this is an amazing thing. And, you know, you cover the what ifs. You cover, you know, the imposter syndrome, I think, is a big part of why we all have the what ifs. It's like, oh, yeah, but what if I fail? And I think that's a big part of your message, too, isn't it?
It is. And honestly, as it relates to the boat, and it's the same thing in business, but as it relates to the boat, one of my biggest concerns was this is a big boat. It's almost just about 50 feet long. The fairway, which you drive up and down to put your boat in the slip, is about 60 feet. So there, when I have to come in and then I have to spin the boat on a dime, if you've ever seen them do that, and then back into the slip, there's no room for error because there's people sitting on their boats, sailboats and other ways, looking, you know, everybody watches each other. And like the last thing in the world I want to do is hit somebody. I also was afraid of running aground, but I solved that quickly. I checked that box off the first week we had it. I ran it aground and it wasn't a big deal. We came and got towed off and there was no damage. So I said, okay, tick that box off. That what if is gone. But you know, it's just like you can get over anything. And that, and when you think about business, people that achieve high amounts of success, they, no matter what is thrown at them, they just said, yeah, well, that's okay. I'm going to figure it out. I'll just figure it out. I'll give you a real, here's one right now that, you know, so we, in our personal situation is we've been on Cobra insurance through, because we've had our health insurance through Steph's. Well, that's running out December 10th. And we've been like, it's such a mess, as you know. They're saying we're out December 10th and you can't sign up until January 1st. I'm like, well, how's that possible that we'll be without, and Steph's like in a tizzy. I'm like, I will solve this. And honestly, I don't know if I will, but I have the attitude, I will find a way for us not to lose insurance. It's just something that I think is very entrepreneurial where you don't give up. Because doggone it, I am going to solve this problem. But anyway, I think that's certainly one of the big characteristics of people who achieve a lot of success is they just don't give up.
No. And we do say no, and I'll be honest with you, no in my world is a complete sentence. I very rarely feel compelled to explain why I said no. But the other side of that is we don't accept no very well. We're like, what do you mean I can't do that? Well, yeah, well, watch this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, isn't that like the juice you need to keep going? If you might even internally go, you start thinking maybe this is not it, but then somebody says, I knew you couldn't do it, and you say, okay, that's not going to stand, you know?
Okay, fight's on, let's go. Yeah, I mean, somebody, you know, telling people like us no, sometimes it's the best thing we can hear because maybe we're talking or thinking about doing something that really isn't congruent with our messaging at the time, or we simply don't have time, or we can't really deliver a quality product for whatever reasons. And sometimes no could be the best thing. But when you're faced with something that is going to alter how you live and how you do business, no is not acceptable.
Yeah. Definitely.
And
not.
I think that's an entrepreneurial trait, no question about it.
And, you know, I work in my coaching business. I tend to work with a lot of new or startups or people that haven't really achieved a lot of success, although they've got a growing business and they feel. But I think in that arena, I see a lot more of what I can believe I can identify as like, okay, this person has it and this person probably doesn't, because I can spot it. And I'm sure as long as you've been in business, you can spot it too, where you can see like with 100% clarity, this person needs to do this, right? And you know it's going to work out. And the person won't move. Nope, not going to do that. Not going to do that. Not going to put that much money into a website, or I'm not going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And you say, okay, well, I don't know, you know, and the people who do achieve success, they do. Everybody plays the what if, but the people who go, yeah, well, so what? What if it does work and I'm going anyway? Those are the people that achieve success, or high amounts of success, I would say.
Right. For some of us, honestly, and this sounds a little woo-woo, it's just a gut-level thing. We know. It's a sense of knowingness, if you will. We know there's danger ahead. We have cast iron stomachs. We're going to get through it. I think I said on an interview with you one time, I saw you posted it on Twitter, that barriers are just, you know, there's something to go around, go under, blow up. I ignore them. You know, barriers don't mean a whole heck of a lot to me unless somebody's trying to get past my barriers. That's a whole nother story. But, you know, the truth is, I mean, I think we all have just this sense of knowing that we can do this. We got this. It may hurt. We may fail along the way. We may have to dust off our bridges, but we're going to do it.
Yes. But you know, the statistics, that's got to be a, you know, 50, 60 years old, 80% of small businesses fail. And it's because those people, when they fall down, they don't pick themselves
don't
up and
up.
Dust off their britches. Yeah,
right.
They just don't get back up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So in chapter one, and tell our audience the name of the book that we're talking about, because I wanted to talk about the principles that drove you to, you know, write the book. But tell people what it is that we're talking about. If I hadn't had technical issues at the top, I would have said this, and I apologize for that.
That's okay. It's called Just Say Yes, Create a Dream Business, and Live Your Dream Lifestyle.
Jim, I lost
yes.
you there for a second. Okay, so just saying yes on the face of it would seem like a fairly easy thing to do, but it's really not, is it?
It's not. And you know what's interesting is when I wrote the book, and I work with a very good editor on all seven of my books, I've been back and forth. I was just doing like the final read through, ready to kind of push the go button, so to speak. And I thought, something's missing, because I didn't want the message to be just say yes to everything. Oh, you want to do this? Okay, sure. Hey, what about this opportunity? Yeah, sure. Just say yes. Just say yes. No, you have to realize there are some things that are going to be like high propensity for success, or they're absolutely in line with what your goals are, and there's going to be other things that are distractions. And so in the final chapter, I actually wrote about when you say yes to some things, you have to say no to other. I wrote a chapter called The Seesaw Effect, like a member of the playground. Somebody's sitting on one end, somebody's sitting on the other. If you're balanced, you can go up and you can go down. But if it's weighted too much to one side, you're either going to stay up, or if on the other side, you'll be staying down. And so one example I gave is, you know, when I started to grow my coaching business, I had to let go of the day-to-day running of my internet businesses, Now Hassle Newsletter, social media, the printing, and things like that. And so I had to build up this team of virtual assistants and put a project manager in place and things like that. And, you know, it's one of the hardest things for entrepreneurs to do is to let go and have somebody else do what you've been doing, actually take over the reins, so to speak. And so that's a hard thing. So, and for me, I had to say no to keep doing everything if I wanted to grow my coaching business. So saying yes to one thing often means you have to say no to something else. Because I don't know about you, Denise, I've never met too many entrepreneurs who have extra time on their hands just looking for the right project. You know,
no.
Most people are balls to the wall 80 hours a week, you know.
I see people, oh, we're going on vacation. And I always say, what is that? What does that even look like?
What's that concept?
I know. It's not a smart way. By the way, audience, don't do this. Take vacations. Go on little side trips. Don't be Jim. Don't be Denise. Go places. Well, you are now.
Yes. That's right. Well, I honestly feel like I'm living a perpetual vacation because, you know, we wake up every day. I can watch the sun come up over the water. I watch the sun go down. You know, we don't have a commute. So, it's a very quiet and slower lifestyle. I still work very hard Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday doing all my coaching calls. But for the rest of the week, I think that is a goal for a lot of people. You hear, you know, I've heard different interviews and people say you shouldn't have a job or you shouldn't have a business where you look forward to the weekend. You should just have a life that you enjoy. And by the way, if that means you have to work a Saturday or Sunday, okay. That means you can take, you know, whatever time you want off. So there's balance. But, you know, this thing of working for the weekend, thank God it's Friday and Sunday night, it's, oh crap, it's, you know, tomorrow's Monday. That kind of thing, you know, that's not a very good business to have. I mean, you might be making money if you are, and I guess that's one of your drivers. But what I have found is that people that start achieving some amount of financial success, after a while, you want something different and you want something, you want time freedom. You want to be able to start living life on your own terms.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, just to put this in context, I know you've shared this story in other interviews that we've done, but for anybody who's just kind of chiming in and going, oh, okay, well, that sounds like a really great topic, we need to put it in context. I mean, you had the scare with cancer. You went broke. I mean, weren't you facing bankruptcy?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, you had to build a team. So there was a lot of things that went on to get you where you are now. And I can hear some people going, oh, gosh, building a team, how do I do that? I'm not making any money with my business. But I think there comes a point where you just have to darn find the money because you cannot do it all yourself.
I like the way you said that. You have to find the money. You know, Denise, I put on a live event and, you know, I've invited some people and I give my speakers a chance to invite people at the friend rate, which is 197. And to some people they're, oh, I just don't have that. And I feel bad because when I started working in with mastermind groups and started going to different events and stuff, that was still borrowed money. But I saw that as a way forward. I saw it as an investment. Yeah. I didn't have the cash, but I was basically borrowing against what I considered in my mind my business line of credit because I wanted to grow a business that would, first of all, pay off my debt, and second of all, provide the lifestyle that I want. But it's very, very rare, and I could almost say it's not possible, but I guess everything's possible. It's very, very rare that you can build a business on cash flow alone. You have to be willing to put skin in the game.
Oh, absolutely. And you also have to be willing to say, okay, follow myself around. I've got this spreadsheet that I send to clients or potential clients, and I tell them, look, I'm going to give you homework, and I want you to take this Excel spreadsheet, and you're going to hate it. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to hate it, because every 15 minutes, I want you to log what you just did, and at the end of 3 or 4 or 7 days, you're going to be going, I did all that stuff. I could job that out to somebody for $10 an hour, $15 an hour, $50 an hour, whatever it takes, but I should not be touching those things. You know, I'm a creator. I'm the business owner. I should not be touching work, my grass. You know, I love being in my garden. I don't mow the grass. I've got a crew for that. In my house, I've got a crew for that too. I'd rather be working and earning the money to make sure that they're paid and I'm happy instead of spending all my time going, oh, you know, I need to catch that dust bunny underneath the couch. That's not the best and highest use of my time, is it?
It's not. And you know what's scary for a lot of entrepreneurs, Denise, is that it always seems like you're putting the cart before the horse when you do that. And it seemed like that when I hired my first VA. It seemed like that when I hired my 13th virtual assistant. You're always watching, well, should I just go another month or 6 months and then I'll bring somebody in? And I liken it to if you're out there in the woods hiking, or if you're a runner or whatever, you're doing something athletic. If you feel dry in the mouth and you're thirsty, you know, they say you should have been drinking already. Well, I think if you got a to-do list that's not getting done, things keep getting moved from one day, from one week to the next. And oh, by the way, the book you know you should be writing, which is going to help your positioning, that's not getting done. you know, those are signs that you're thirsty, your business is thirsty right now. And again, like you just said, you got to find that money, because finding that money is going to, in the end, give you a more profitable business. So I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody's, I don't know, let's just say they're doing less than six figures and they're struggling, or and they want to bring, you know, they want to do a VA, but they don't really feel ready for it. Well, you could hire a VA, like an admin. You could, you know, I'm telling you, I'm preaching the choir. You know, you could find somebody for $15 an hour, $25 an hour, $50 an hour for whatever. And if you even did like, $100. And if let's just say you did a minimum, you hired somebody for 10 hours a week and you paid them $25 an hour, that's $250 a week. Let's say times four, so that's $1,000 a month. All of a sudden, that's 40 extra hours you just freed yourself. I guarantee you can write a book in 40 hours. You can do whatever it is you need to do in 40 hours that so far you've been unable to do because you're busy doing cheesy crap, you know, work. And all of a sudden, you get that stuff done, and it actually brings in more business. Now the new business can start paying, you know, at least paying for the virtual assistant and then some. But yes, just like anything else, you have to put the money out first. It's the people who, I call them when I's, a person who says, well, I'm going to do this when I, I'll hire a coach when I, I'll do more Facebook marketing when I'm going to hire a virtual assistant when I. A when I is somebody who just actually keeps moving the goalposts because they're not comfortable investing in their business.
That's exactly right. And listen, there's ways to do it. PayPal has a line of credit. If you have a PayPal account in good standing, I think you can get up to about $10,000 pretty much instantly. If you've got credit cards, I think this is what you did, Jim. You were paying for your business expenses with your credit cards for a while there, weren't you?
I did. I mean, when I was working, I was making a good salary. We really watched out for our credit. And I had credit cards out the wazoo, and that really became my source of funding for the – well, first of all, keep my family afloat while I was out of work, but then it really – I used those to start my business because, you know, going to a bank and saying, yeah, I'm a business consultant, I need a loan. Well, what assets do you have? None. Do you have an office? No. Do you have any – you know, I have nothing. I got me and my old Dell computer, but I'm going to make it, doggone it. Well, no bank's going to loan you money, you know.
No, they won't. And another thing you can do, and I tell people this all the time, look, how bad do you want this? How bad do you want to say yes to your life, to your new lifestyle, to creating a business, to helping other people? Because the truth is, we do what we do because we have so much knowledge and so much to share that this is how we do it. We create businesses by helping other people. And honestly, if people would just take a walk, and again, it's one of my spreadsheets, and I send it to people, so look, you know, here are your business expenses that you currently have, Entreport, AWeber, Blog Talk Radio, your telephone, whatever it is. On this, open up this page, this is what you're paying out every month. These are your fixed expenses, and this is the crap that just slides through your fingers, like, you know, cable TV. Do you really need cable TV? I would posit, no, you don't. Do you need to go to Starbucks every 4 hours? Nope. If you take a good long look at the money that you're just throwing out the window, you've got the money probably to pay some decent help. And I've proved that time and time again.
I think we all have. And, you know, it's interesting, and I can say this now with clarity because I've had so many years behind me, what I call my season of crises. But that taught me so much. You know, when the income stopped, we really got clear, very clear, on wants versus needs. You know, do we like to go out for pizza or anywhere else? Yeah, but guess what? There's no money. You know, everything came to a halt that was non-essential spending. I clearly remember when we canceled HBO and the kids came home and flicked the channel. Where's HBO? Sorry, no more. You know, we cut out it helped. It all helped. But I still believe you can't save your way out of debt. You have to grow your way out of debt.
You have to spend, right?
And
I agree.
You have to invest.
And I think that's where a lot of people say, oh, you know, but I was guilty. I'm not saying a lot of people. I'm saying I was one of the worst offenders because, you know, I'm a techie. I'm a nerd in stilettos. Everything I ask my team to do, with the exception of Infusionsoft, because I hate working in Infusionsoft, I can do. Should I do it? No. And for the longest kind of time, I wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't say, okay, I can train someone to do it the way I want to do it and then move on to go do something else. And then, Jim, I found out that when you're hiring other professionals to help you in your business, ask them how to do it. I mean, you may have your way, you may have your standard operating procedures, but if they're good at what they do, they're going to say, yeah, Jim, but you know what? Let's try this because I think it'll save you money, it'll save you time, and you'll have a bigger reach. Listen to the people that you bring on board. That took me a while because, you know, I'm really good at what I do. I'm a know-it-all. I was like, oh,
there you go.
What do you mean? I mean, I had to really ratchet my own ego back out of it because I really do enjoy the techie aspects of everything. And it's just so easy. We're all guilty of this. Oh, it'll take me 5 minutes. Add up those 5 minutes and you just wasted a bunch of time and money.
You just hit the nail on the head. When your ego is more important than getting where you want to be for actually achieving what it is you want to achieve, when you care more about how you get there than getting there, that's the danger zone.
Yeah, and I lived in it for a while.
Yeah, you see somebody or you see multiple people that have done what it is you want to do and you see how they're doing it, but you kind of brush off because, A, you don't want to do it, or, B, you don't think you're good enough. Whatever reasons you come up with in your head, you're not going to do those things. I'd rather do it my way. I'd rather create something. I'd rather have a new, you know, whiz-bang marketing funnel or hack or whatever you want to call it. And to me, it's like, well, shoot, if all I got to do is follow that blueprint because it worked for this person and that person and that person, and I can get there too – well, but I think in some way it speaks to what I might call entrepreneurial maturity. You know, it's where, you know, for me, when I started, I was 42 years old and you know, you get to a certain point where I really wanted to achieve what I wanted to achieve. And I cared much less about it, me being seen as brilliant.
And perfect. Perfectionism is one of the things that really plagues people like us.
Yes, it does. Oh,
I mean, it plagues
that
me.
That is a progress killer.
Oh, it is. I mean, I will walk around, and honestly, you ought to see me. I can be walking through my kitchen because I just halted myself because something has to be just right. And you're going to laugh, Jim. I mean, we all have, you know, you probably know what this is, open refrigerator door syndrome, where you open mm-hmm. the refrigerator door, you stick your head in there, and you completely lose your mind. Everything is a blank. You have no idea how you got there, what you're doing, or if there's even anything in there you want. And I will do that. I will open my refrigerator, but I'm aware enough now where I can just go, damn it, Denise, and pull my head back out of there and go in and turn it over, you know, turn it over to someone who has a better grasp on timing than I do, because it's not going to be perfect. Just get it done. Get it out there. Get it done. Get it up and running. You can always, the beauty of the internet now, the beauty with WordPress, the beauty with, you know, funnels, you can always go back and course correct and make corrections, split tests, whatever it is you need to do. Nothing should even be considered perfect because you are going to be adapting and changing as you go. And it took me the longest kind of time to get past myself. I mean, I'm ashamed to admit how long it took.
It's funny. I had a call this morning with my daughter, Jessica, who you know.
And I do.
So when I helped her get started in her first business, I agreed to host her website on my servers. And that's all I know, my servers. And, you know, our mutual friend, Adam Homey, takes care of that stuff
mm-hmm.
for me. Well, he was my first hire. And she goes.
And he's brilliant. You talk about brilliant. That's Adam.
Oh, he's a brilliant man. And so she goes, I'm going to be moving. So I'll contact Adam. I said, okay. I had no idea I was still paying for your website hosting, but that's okay. And then she goes, do you know what server you're on? I said, seriously, you're asking me? I do not know. But I know I'm in great hands with Adam, and Adam takes care of my online side of the business, and he knows that stuff, and I don't have to think about it. I honestly have more than enough to think about without thinking about which hosting service I'm going to use. I trust him because he's so brilliant in that area.
And the thing is, Jim, the problem that I think a lot of people don't really understand until they walk smack into it, by trying to do everything in your business, I mean, from figuring out who your what your DNS is, changing the DNS and GoDaddy to HostGator. It should be gobbledygook to a lot of business owners. It really should. You find the people that can put you where you need to be and you go about doing it. But the thing is, if you are not willing to kind of give up that control, you're going to walk smack into these things. You don't even know what they are. I had a big conversation 2 days ago with a girl, lady I'm going to be rebuilding her business literally, and she was taken advantage so terribly. It was just horrible. And I think I lost my train of thought there. But,
did you have a refrigerator moment?
I think I did. I just went completely blank. But anyway, the thing is once you decide that you're going to move forward, you have to really guard what you're doing because, oh, I know what it was, Jim. All of, you know, entrepreneurs I find, and I know a lot of us, I know you and I know so many people in our inner circle. And I mean, we are all of us, I'm just going to say it, straight up brilliant people in our own way. We're enthusiastic. We're creative. We have so much going on. But the minute you just wallow around in the minutia of all of this garbage, you lose your creativity. You really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where I was trying to go. I got there eventually.
You got there. Well, see, I was hiding in the freezer. But, you know, the real money, the real money, Denise, is in the creativity. It's not in the doing. You know, if you conceive an idea, whether it's for a business or some kind of process, that's where the money is because you can find people that know how to do it. Like, it's the people who envision doing things. There was a series on TV. It was on several years ago, but I was a little sick a couple days ago. I was watching some TV as I lay in bed. It's called The Men Who Built America. It's a fascinating look
at
some of...
It's on Netflix,
yeah,
isn't
JP
it?
Yeah, J.P. Morgan. And, and all these different... Oh, my gosh. They built the steel mills and the first steel bridge across the St. Louis River. And these people were such visionaries, and they... And the other thing they did is they risk. I mean, they were already known as wealthy men, but they put every dime they had into the steel plant or into the railroads, and they bet big. And, you know, they made it really big, but it was such a great example. And the show wasn't necessarily driving that point home, but as an entrepreneur, I was seeing that. They were driven, and they were so, you know, they talked about when electricity, should we go with AC or DC and Westinghouse? I mean, it was just a really amazing show. But the biggest thing that I took out of it from watching it now, probably the third time, is that those guys were rich and successful because they had incredible vision. And they hired people who were incredibly smart to carry out that vision.
And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. You bring people on board, you give them enough of the big picture that they can go, oh, okay, well, you know, how about this? And once I find those people, they're gold. I mean, they're platinum. I will take very good care of them because they are helping me build my business. And I'm not having to deal with my calendaring and, you know, worrying about the DNS and all these other things that I can do them. Certainly I can do them. But I tumble into bed at 11 o'clock at night and go, did I make any money today? No, I didn't. Because I was playing around in the minutiae.
That's exactly right. Yep. That's not where the money is.
No, it's not. So in addition to just saying yes, which I love, your big message is bigger, bolder, faster. So what does that mean to you? How does an entrepreneur know whether they're ready to go big and bold and fast? I mean, are there certain steps? Is there a sense of knowingness? What's your advice?
So bigger, bolder, faster. This is actually how I was actually inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this book because I was walking blue. It was about 3 weeks before my Orlando event last February, and this is when we were living on that farm, and I'm out just walking. It was kind of a warm winter, and Blue and I are just watching the horses run around. It was just great. It was a wonderful morning, albeit a little chilly. And for me DBA mode, but when you're in any kind of action mode for something coming up, it's hard to turn your brain off. I pretty much roll 24/7, and one of the things that I got this message was bigger, bolder, faster. And I like that. Bigger, bolder, faster. I'm going to work that into my teaching. And the next thing I heard was, you too, Jim, you've been coasting. And I thought, yeah, I'm growing a good business. But, and that, you know, that was just part of the whole deal. And so that in a way was the start of the book. And I think bigger, bolder, faster is really symbolic of people that are coasting and they're playing safe, or what you might call small ball. And they're not taking enough chances. Yet these same people are the ones that see themselves as really high powered entrepreneurs, very successful. And you know, so it really is a requirement. I believe if you're going to create a very successful business, you have to be big. You have to think bigger. Don't think, oh, I need 10 new clients this year, or I need 3 new clients this month. No, what if you got 50? What would that do to your business if you got 50? Well, I don't know. I can't even imagine getting 10. Well, if you got 50, what would so the next question, well, what would have to happen for you to get in front of enough people so that you got 50 clients? And see, just going there with your mind opens up possibility through your subconscious mind. It's going to say, well, I guess I would have to – I could do more speaking. I'd probably write a book. I could go to more live. In other words, you start solving that problem, but you only solve the problem when you ask for a solution. So that's kind of the bigger part. The bolder part is, listen, everybody, including myself, can step up and be a little bolder. And not only how they present themselves, how they talk about themselves, how they charge appropriately for the, as you said earlier, for the brilliance that, you know, we bring to the table. And faster, honestly, people just deliberate things, and things that don't get done fast don't get done, in my opinion, because something's always going to come up that's going to take you off course, or you're going to back burn or something. You want to get stuff done fast. So bigger, bolder, faster. That's kind of what I was thinking there.
And that makes sense. I had an interview with Robert Plank, two of them actually. I think you know him. And mm-hmm. he said something that was really stuck in my head. He said, you know, basically, when he has an idea, when he has an epiphany, if you will, he gives himself 3 days from the time that he thought it up to the time to get it out. Because after that, you lose track of it. And I started watching myself, and darned if he isn't right. By about the end of the third day, yeah. Other things have gotten in the way. You've gotten pulled off course. Give yourself those 3 days, you know, hustle in, get it done, and move on, you know, wait for the next flash of brilliance.
I'll give you an example that I just literally did in the last 24 hours. So, you know, my next event is about the last day is going to be 3 weeks from today, so it's about 3 weeks away. I still have like 12 seats to fill, which I'm sure I'll do that or get close. So I don't panic, but by every measure, if you put on your own event, you're panicking all the time. So we're doing everything we've done, mailings, invites, phone calls, you know, emails, Facebook ads, we're doing it all. And then I got a thought yesterday about using local groups like Meetup and things like that. In different ways. I don't want to just go host a meetup event. Hi, I'm Jim. Who are you? This, you know, I don't see that. But there's got to be a way that to use Meetup, Eventbrite, and some of these other services to actually identify some of the people who are local. Because I don't think anybody's necessarily going to say yes from California. They might, but it, you know, the chances are those 12 seats are going to be filled locally. So I got on the phone with somebody on my team who is brilliant, and we talked about this. We already today have almost 30 people joining my meetup group and this other program through Eventbrite, identify themselves as joining the group. But by being a small business owner, we got financial planners, we got HVAC guys, there's a plumber. And so I didn't know who these people were yesterday. And now what we're doing is we're going to keep growing it over the week, and I'm going to invite them to a free video webinar next Thursday night. So they can get a chance to see me. I'll present some really good stuff, and then I'm actually going to tell them about my event and probably do a good local special, something like that. But so my point is, I didn't think about this, and it's in 3 weeks. Maybe I'll do it next time. No, I'm in 24 hours. We had the idea fleshed out, up and running, and it's already starting to bear fruit.
Exactly. And once I realized that, because, you know, I've always got these great ideas, I can go back in my digital journal, which is where I keep my brain. And I will be embarrassed to find that this brilliant idea I had that I just thought of it again yesterday, it was just so cool, is a year old. That's when I bang my head against the refrigerator door, which, by the way, I have new refrigerator, so when I knock on it, it lights up. It's very entertaining. Bang my head on it, and I light up the refrigerator. But if you, the point is, and you know, you took immediate action. Robert Plank says, take immediate action. Boy, I learned that lesson the hard way. And I've been in business for a long time, but you're right. Have the idea, do something with it, because otherwise you may not have a full event. You may not have a product to put out. You know, you may have put up a lead page, but if you didn't do something to get it out there, you just wasted 2 hours building a gorgeous boat anchor.
That's right. You got instant. I mean, as quickly as you can, you want to bring that idea to fruition. Because the faster you do, it's either going to work and you'll keep working it, or work semi-good and you'll keep fixing it, or it's going to go, that wasn't so good. You know, throw that out. Let's go to the next thing. I mean, that was really the impetus to the book Decide, is you have to decide yes or no, but not maybe.
Exactly. Okay, in chapter one, let's go back to the book a little bit here. You spoke about your journey going all the way back to your first job at 15. Now, you've worked all of your life, and I think our listeners need to hear about that, because I think it's important. Entrepreneurs, we're not lazy. We will mow grass if we have to. We're not lazy.
Yeah. And the interesting thing was that idea of looking back, I got that from reading Gene Simmons' book called Me, Inc. And it was one of his better books. It wasn't about, you know, Kiss and the rock industry. It was about him specifically turning himself into multiple successful entrepreneur. And he started looking back, and he did this thing. So, look, when I was 15, I saw the Beatles, and I picked up a bass guitar, and I taught myself bass. I never had a lesson in my life. And, you know, later on, I became a record producer. I never went to recording, you know, college or anything like that. And he says, you know, and I'll skip ahead just to make the point. But he said, then I started a marketing business. And, you know, he works for NASCAR hires him, and all these multinational companies hire him because he's got a brilliant mind. And one of the ones I thought was interesting is he said, I then wanted to become a speaker. And I went to the best speaking agency there was, the premier agency that has all the ex-presidents and things like that. And I said, I want to earn $150,000 a speech. And they say, shoot, even our ex-presidents get like 50 or 75. He goes, I fired him and started my own agency, and I get $150,000 a speech. And the lesson was that he never let the fact that he didn't have experience stop him from doing what he knows he could do. And so I did that same kind of retrospective look. And when I was 15, I really wanted to get a car, but my parents said, you better earn enough money to get your own car. And I wanted to buy records, and I wanted to buy a drum set and all this and that. So I went to the local, there was a, right down the street within walking distance of the high school, was a small bicycle store. And I walked in there and applied for a job. Guy said, can you fix bikes or put them together? I said, sure. And I started putting them together. First or second day, he said, you're not real good at this, are you? I said, no, but I'm a quick learner. He said, yeah, I think you got a good attitude. And he taught me. And lo and behold, I stayed in the bike business for like 25 years. But, you know, even when we started franchising the Bike Line bike stores, you know, hey, we sold our first franchise, and the owner says, I need somebody who can run a training program. I'll do it. I wrote a training manual, and I created a two-week training program, and all these different things throughout my career I basically said yes to without knowing exactly how I was going to do it, but knowing internally that I would figure it out. And I think that's really an entrepreneurial trait that highly successful people have.
Very much so. And if you look at people who start these agencies and who start these businesses, probably nobody taught them. They just did it. Somebody has to start it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really
exactly
important.
Right.
And I love Gene Simmons. I think he is just a smart, smart man.
He really is. And he comes up with these names and taglines, and he just runs with it. I mean, nothing. There's no moss growing under his feet when it comes to ideas.
No, none at all. Okay, chapter two. I have to know. What are the two F words?
Well, there's me being funny with chapter titles, because if you know me, you know what I'm not talking about. But,
I know. That's why I got a chuckle. I was like, neither one of us says one of those anyway. So
I know.
Failure's got to be one of them.
How it's become so commonplace. But anyway, let's not go down that road. But it's fear, and the other, and people probably figure that one out. Fear, and we've covered a lot of the fears today with, you know, fear of being authentic and all that. But I think the other F word is actually more important. So let me talk about that real quick. Is that it's forgiveness.
Oh, people, see, I would have thought
have
failure.
People have a hard time forgiving themselves for what they believe are past sins or past mistakes. And I learned this about 3 years ago from two coaching members, kind of similar backgrounds, but one of them really, I mean, I really saw this, just like I said earlier, I saw this very clear path forward and she couldn't pull the trigger. And I said, well, what's going on? And she said, I just feel bad. I think in the last 3 years, I've spent $60,000 working with other coaches and other programs and seminars and this and that. It's just, I'm no further along, and I'm afraid to spend, you know, more money with you. And I said, do you believe I'm going to help you? She said, yeah. I said, then you need to forgive yourself for those past mistakes, because that's what they are. I mean, listen, there's a lot of charlatans in this industry, people who say they're going to do one thing and then they do another, and you'll have a handsome or a pretty face on stage, and then you get to work with the B team. And I mean, there's a lot of that going on. That drives me crazy, but that's another conversation, right? But I said, if you're going to move forward, you have to let go of that. You have to physically let go of that. And I suggest people write it down on a card and go stick it in the fireplace or bury it in the backyard. You got to do something physical, and you say, okay, that's the last time I'm going to think about this. Whatever mistakes I've made to this point have helped me get to where I am today. But so I'm going to be okay with that, because I'm going to make better decisions moving forward. And so what I've figured out, Denise, is that people will actually forgive other people quicker than they'll forgive themselves. And as an entrepreneur, if you've got baggage like that that's hanging over, you feel bad about that, and therefore I'm not going to move forward, that is like you're dragging an anchor, and so you have to let go of that. You have to forgive yourself for past mistakes that you've made, lost opportunities, you know, things like that.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, the thing is, money is an energy. I think a lot of people don't really stop and think about that, but the better your energy is, the better your energy is internally, that you feel like you're on the right path, you can help people, you've got this, money will come to you, because money is an energy that's attracted to your energy.
Right. Money's attracted to your energy. Money is attracted to value. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to create a successful business and create wealth based on how badly they want it. Nobody's going to get rich because of how much they think they deserve it, or any of those things. Money always is moving toward value. If enough people want what you have, then you'll be successful.
Absolutely. Do you know that we've only got about 2 minutes left? I'm telling you, this is the quickest hour on the internet.
Wow.
It really is. Jim, I want to ask you, because I find that a lot of people who are very successful or well on their way to being successful have some really great success, I'm not going to say mantras, but, you know, success rituals that they do. I know I do. Do you have any that you'd like to share?
As far as rituals, yeah, I you know, for a long time I've been an early riser, and I will come clean and say, since I live on the boat, I don't get up as early as I used to. It's just so relaxing and calm, and I don't know, just a little bit of waves rolling you to sleep. But I get up early, and, you know, I find that the early morning is my most creative time. So I don't try and jam in, you know, crap work to do or anything like that. But if I'm writing a book, I get up early and I don't turn on the TV. I don't listen to Facebook or watch Facebook. I don't do anything other than use that creative time. So you have to find out when is your most creative time. Remember what we talked about earlier. Creativity is where the money's going to be. So figure out, and for some people, I've been nurturing some people along, and they say, well, it's not me, I'm creative at night. I said, that's totally fine. If you're groggy in the morning, then just do some admin stuff or whatever it is that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. And if you're creative at night when everybody goes to sleep, rock on and do that. So you have to recognize, that's one of the most important things, is recognize when is your optimum time for thinking clearly without distraction.
Oh, exactly. I am a morning person very much, but I also find that my creativity kind of wanders back and says, hey, you busy? Right around 7 o'clock at night. Go figure. So all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, and back to my office I go. So listen, thank you for sharing that. Jim, where can people find you on the web?
GetJimPalmer.com, www.getjimpalmer.com is the home base. Of course, I'm all over social media as well.
Right, you are. Jim, thank you so much. It's always a great podcast when you're my guest, and it's always the case that went way too fast, and I thank you for all the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience. And today's episode was sponsored by my company, Your Office on the Web. We assist you with full-on business creation services such as web development, virtual assistants, online business management, social media marketing, and honestly, so much more. Please visit Your Office on the Web to schedule your free consultation. And be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Jim, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, Denise.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.